The last few years, I would say the last two in particular, had given a pounding to the notion that we live in a post-racial society in America. While science tells us that we're all human, and that's the race, our identification, either by self or by other, tends to include subgroups of the human race. Do we try to ignore it or talk about it? The option at Southern Oregon University this week is to talk about it through Race Awareness Week, a series of events running through the week. Marvin Woodard is the Multicultural Resource Director, or MRC, as we refer to it a bunch of times in the program. Marvin, good to have you back on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me back.
And one of the speakers at the events for Race Awareness Week is Claudia Alec, who's Associate Producer Community at Jefferson Public Radio. Whoops. You're at Jefferson Public Radio a lot, but you work for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
That's right.
Good to have you back.
Thanks.
Marvin, give us an overview of how long Race Awareness Week has been going on campus and what the general goals are.
Well, this is the fifth year of Race Awareness Week, and it was originally instigated by a student who said, hey, we're not having these conversations. And it was in a small room with three or four professionals, and we said, let's put something together, and you take the lead. And so she ran with it, and in the very beginning, it was always, we want to create a space, and SAFE is, optional. We want it to be a space where everyone feels comfortable enough to have a tough conversation about race, the impact of race, and how others may view race. And especially, like you said, in these last couple of years, with so many things happening on a national front that really sets up borders and barriers and walls for that conversation, this particular program is even more vital and more important for our community. So it's all about creating that space. We want to be able to talk about it. Let's have that difficult conversation.
SOU in particular, being in a rather white corner of Oregon, is a fairly white campus, isn't it? Not a lot of minorities represented here?
Not very many. I believe, and I'm not 100%, but it's around 16%, 15-16% at this point on campus. So it's not a
60% minority?
16%. Mm-hmm. So it's not diverse, but it's the community that it is here is a very active and visible community, so that really helps us a lot in guiding some of the conversations and the sharing. And it's not just talking, but the sharing of the different cultures and identities.
How do you promote ways in which people can share things with each other that they normally share within their own enclaves or subgroups?
Well, really, we believe within a Multicultural Resource Center that we are celebrating the inclusive we, not the exclusive we, meaning that when we sit down to have the conversation about race, we're inviting everyone to the table. If we leave anyone out of that conversation, regardless of their identity, then it means we're not having a true community building experience. We're not able to tackle people's fears or let people express their own fears or their hurt. But then also, like I said, the sharing of the culture and the celebration, we're not going to be able to celebrate it if we don't have everyone there to show the value of difference, the value of the diversity that shows up when you have so many different cultures willing to be in the same space at the same time.
So, Claudia Alec, I see you're speaking tonight at 6 in the Rogue River Room at the Stevenson Union about exploring the racial divide. Is this part of your job at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival?
Well, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, part of our mission is reflecting our collective humanity, and that's a part of the job, definitely. In the United States, race is one of the biggest challenges as a country that we have to face and talk about and explore. The work that I've been doing recently with the Every 28 Hours Project, it's shown me that in the United States, it's hard just to talk about these things. And not talking about these things makes trouble. It makes problems. And it's communities' job and necessity to address these issues.
In a sense, does the United States function like an individual does? I mean, if you don't talk about the things that bother you, they become bigger problems over time?
Yes. Just working with a group of artists from all over the country, one of the things we discussed was our collective national wound. And the question is, how can you heal a wound if you aren't willing to admit that it exists?
So you have to go back and talk about it,
mm.
Which a lot of people do resist. And in fact, I think that's where some of the bigger difficulties arise, is that you get into situations where it's not just that people would rather not talk about it, but once you do get them to talk about it, they want to talk about it in their own way. And you get into things like, well, no, it was heritage, not hate, that sort of thing.
Well, I think that heritage, not hate, that's a conversation that's about trying to ignore the conversation of race, to instead of talk about the real reasons for the Civil War, to make it about something it wasn't about. It's avoiding the national wound. It's avoiding the problem. And ultimately, we can't heal as a community unless we just become more aware of it.
One of the things I think that is a standout situation at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, where you work, is the general introduction over the years of colorblind and even genderblind casting. This is a thing that apparently still challenges some theater goers as well. But give us an idea of the basic effort there.
Well, actually, we don't even like to use the word colorblind because that connotates something that doesn't exist. There's no such thing as that. What we do is color conscious casting. We're trying to do the kind of casting that reflects the entirety of the United States, not just one small subsection.
Do you still get people griping about, well, no, wait a minute, that guy wouldn't have been a black guy back at that point in history or something like that?
Well, I think the ticket sales speak for themselves. Our audience seems to be very, very happy with our creative choices.
We're talking about the Multicultural Resource Center and Race Awareness Week at Southern Oregon University. Claudia Alec is associate producer at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. One of the speakers in the events, Marvin Woodard at the Multicultural Resource Center, he's the director, is also with us in the studio. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Who else are you bringing to campus in addition to Claudia for this week's events, Marvin?
Well, you know, Claudia is the highlight with the work she's been doing with 28 Hours and other projects here in the community. But following her, we're also going to have Limon Wah, who is a diversity educator out of the Bay Area. I've been in a couple of his workshops, and he has a phenomenal way of really getting to the issue and allowing people to express themselves without creating a space where anyone's being alienated or basically put to the outlying edge of the conversation. It really draws people in, and it comes from a place of the heart where you really are going to be able to feel the experience of those around you, especially those of people of color. So he has a 9 a.m. keynote on Wednesday morning in Rogue River Room, and then he's also back in the evening, I believe, at about 6 for a follow-up presentation. And then on Thursday, we have Mark Weinblatt, who's with the Mandela Center in Seattle. He will be hosting a presentation called The Theater of the Oppressed, which we're very excited about because with us being such a strong theater school and having such a strong performance art community outside of the campus, for him to come in and bring a program that really that utilizes two students, an African-American woman and a white male. Those two students have had the opportunity to create a moment of tension and act it out, and then the audience is pulled into the presentation so that they are able to take care of the surface work, but then dig deeper to find out what's the root of most of this hurt. And so he, again, really gets into that internalized oppression piece through performance art. So it's pretty amazing what's going to happen with these two folks.
So it's a scripted piece? It's not improv?
It's not improv. It may go to an improv moment, as I have seen in the past. It may go to an improv moment as it becomes more and more unpacked.
So we'd mentioned twice now the Every 28 Hours project. Tell us what that is, Claudia.
Well, we decided to collaborate with the entirety of the United States to try and capture history in the making. So we commissioned 45 playwrights to write one-minute plays about the Black Lives Matter movement and this time in civil rights. We also reached out to theaters who sent 20 artists with me to St. Louis, where I worked with the One-Minute Play Festival, Dominic D'Andrea, and Jacqueline Thompson, our St. Louis lead producer. And we worked with like 60 actors in St. Louis, 15 playwrights. It was a gigantic undertaking to create a collection of 90 plays about the Black Lives Matter movement. We also collaborated with the police, having conversations with them. There was one police officer who went to both readings in St. Louis and just had really positive things to say about the work.
It's been interesting to watch the Black Lives Matter movement form and the responses to it as well. And let me back up a step, though, and ask about how you get people to come to programs like you were talking about in St. Louis and get the people who really need most to hear the message. You get lots of enthusiasm from people who firmly believe in what you're doing, but you're going to have some people who are either antipathetic to it or just sort of not really caring about it. How do you get them into the mix and try to get them to pay attention too?
Well, shaping events like that, and the same thing goes for shaping an event like Race Awareness Week, you're creating spaces where you're inviting people to join the conversation, and they're going to join the conversation wherever they feel comfortable joining. They might join online. Hopefully, they'll attend in person and see the plays. We had a reading of the plays in Providence, Rhode Island, and also a reading a couple days ago in San Francisco. So the conversations are taking place, and they're necessary, necessary conversations. I'm so excited about Lee Monnois. I can't wait to talk to Lee Monnois. It's going to be so exciting this week. This is great programming.
How did you figure out all the people to bring in? I mean, how do you go about trying to pull together programs for a Race Awareness Week, Marvin?
You know, well, it started way back in spring term. We were kicking out names, and Marjorie True Blood Gamble, who's our director for diversity and inclusion for Southern Oregon University, she has she's heard about Lee Monnois. We've spoken about him several times. And she's also been at one of his workshops, so she was very familiar with his work already. But and really, it's just a lot of conversation. What do we want to get across? What do we want our message to be? How we want to do it? And his name came out there. And as far as Theater of the Oppressed, I've been trying to get a troupe started on this campus for a while, and it's something I'm really passionate about because we are such a strong performance arts-based community, not just here on campus, but also off campus. And that's an area that everyone respects in this region. Especially coming out of SOU. So really wanted to capitalize on that and then hopefully have it flood into a closer partnership with some of the performers or all of the performers and whoever it might be at OSF so that when you're out of season, this is a group that's coming in and really motivating our students to really take part in this conversation through the Theater of the Oppressed work.
Marvin Woodard runs the Multicultural Resource Center at Southern Oregon University. Claudia Alec is an associate producer at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. We're talking about Race Awareness Week on the SOU campus this week today through Friday on the SOU campus. You can join us on the exchange. Your questions and comments on topic are welcome. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. How different would the events are the events of this Race Awareness Week from last year in the context of the things that have happened since then? I think about the Charleston shootings and South Carolina taking down the rebel flag. I mean, is there any difference in mood perceived or expressed?
I think there will be, and I think Lee Monnois will probably cover a lot of that because he'll ask those tougher questions. But yes, in the conversations that I'm having with students, and a lot of my conversations are student-centered, those are the big pieces. You know, hey, here's another shooting. Here's a kid being flipped out of a desk, you know, a young woman of color being flipped out of a desk. You know, when does it stop? How do we have these conversations with people so they can hear our anger about this? And how do we present our anger in a way that's not destructive so that we aren't burning bridges or people aren't feeling like they're having a finger wagged or pointed at them? So a lot of our students are talking about that, and they want to use the Race Awareness Week as a springboard for those conversations. So like perfect opportunity for the city of Ashland. And all of the community members. On Tuesday, we have a panel where we'll have members of our community, people of color, who are highly involved or have lived here in Ashland, and they are going to talk about what that means, how they go about every day existing here in this valley, and especially in Ashland, and then some of the walls that they bump up against. So I think that's a space where you can hear about how it is impacting us here in this valley, people of color, in fact, in this valley, how we are being impacted by these national happenings, because we are impacted. We are very impacted. We are very impacted when we see the president of the United States show up in Roseburg and you see Confederate flags and we don't want you here. We are very impacted by those types of things, and those conversations are happening. So I think that's a great space on Tuesday to hear it from professionals and students about how we are reflecting on these national incidents.
Are there issues with life in Ashland per se? Because, I mean, people in Ashland think of themselves as very open-minded and liberal and so forth, but Claudia?
Well, I remember doing the Martin Luther King Day celebration, I think, like 5 or 6 mm-hmm. years ago, and I sent out a little email just to people of color and to people who had family members of color saying, hey, give us stories of a time where you've actually had something that was a racist incident. And we created a performance piece about it, and we performed it as part of the Martin Luther King Day celebration. And it was so interesting to see who was surprised. I mean, that's the story of race in our country, isn't it? That that if you're a brown person, you're experiencing this every single day. You're very aware of the problems inside our country and how they're hurting everyone. I think the greatest lie of white supremacy is that it actually helps the majority of white people. We live in a country right now where so many of us are suffering. And the stories that are going to be told on that Tuesday night event, those are not new stories. These are stories we have been telling over and over and over again. And I look forward to our community really listening and responding to these experiences that are not new.
We have an email here from Kathy in Grants Pass who writes, "It is good that everyone is invited to the table. Isn't our greatest divide right now that of economic disparity? Fix that and many of the problems go away. Right now there are groups competing for crumbs. We can all try to do something to try to make a to make this a level playing field for everyone of any hue, ethnicity to do well. Our country is already a multicultural, multi-hued experiment." So economic disparity is where she thinks the major problem is.
Well, I think that this is all intersectional. It's all connected.
Thank you. I was going to say the same thing. You can't pull one piece out and say, hey, let's fix this. It won't. We need to look at those intersections, those overlaps, because they're prevalent in every community. They're absolutely prevalent in every community. And then the other side of it, even if we look at it from a person who is in a lower socioeconomic class, if we're just using that, and you would still have opportunities as a white male because of your classification, because of you being part of that group that a person who is of color would not have access to. That's still going to be there. Give them both money. Guess what? Some of those opportunities are still there, regardless of how much money you each have. You know, things may have changed on what you're having access to, but there's still going to be a privilege-based system in place, regardless of the socioeconomic status.
Are the events of Race Awareness Week open to people from outside the campus?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Most of them are free. The only one that is not that has a charge will be the Theater of Oppressed presentation.
Okay. And that's the one
on Thursday night. Okay. Yes.
All right. But everything else is free and open to anybody in the community who wants to show up for the events of Race Awareness Week.
Absolutely. I say absolutely. The two, there's also two where we are intentionally working with faculty and intentionally working with students. Okay. Everything else is open.
All right. And what is the usual attendance like? I mean, how many people show up for the events of Race Awareness Week in seasons past?
You know, we usually have very good turnout. We're always surprised by the numbers. We're expecting maybe 60, 70. We usually get 90 to 100 in most of our programs.
All right. Marvin Woodard is the Multicultural Resource Center Director at Southern Oregon University. Claudia Alec is an associate producer at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. We've been talking about Race Awareness Week at SOU. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.